Thank Barb for that offertory this morning. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. We're talking about the omnipresence of God this morning. Does Jesus care? He does. And he does that. He shows his care by his presence with us. Turn with me to Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139, we looked at that passage when we talked about the omniscience of God, but we're going to talk about the omnipresence of God this morning. We're going to read verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to be in your word. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to do that. Father, as we look at your omnipresence this morning and the fact that you are present everywhere, Father, help us to realize that you are with us through trials, you are with us through difficulty, you are with us through the blessed times as well. Help us to see your comfort and your care of us. Draw us closer to you this morning. May you be honored and glorified through what is said. In Jesus' name, amen. The Mariana Trench is almost 7 miles deep. If you were to take Mount Everest and you were to place that in the bottom of the Mariana Trench, the top of Mount Everest would still be 7,000 feet below sea level. The Hubble telescope has seen as far as 13.5 billion light years away. Now, I can't tell you how far away that is. 13.5 billion light years. Did you know that the smallest things in the world are called quarks? And quarks are things that make up the building blocks of protons and neutrons. Consider all the places that you've been in the last week, in the last month, in the last year, or throughout your life. And it is estimated that over 107 billion people have lived on the Earth since the Earth was created. There are over 196 million square miles of surface area on the Earth, which translates out to over 5.5 quadrillion square feet. Being a carpenter, I appreciate those statistics, but I didn't break it down into square inches. I didn't figure that was necessary. But all those interesting facts about the vastness and intricacies of God's creation, but even more important is the fact that God is in every place. From the smallest life form to the deepest reaches of space, Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24 says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" That's another evidence that when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't just leave it to spin in some reckless orbit, that he continues to govern and orchestrate every part of it. And it's difficult to isolate one attribute of God. We're talking about the omnipresence of God, and it's hard to say we're just going to talk about that this morning because there's so many other attributes of God that come into this discussion, because God is perfectly balanced in everything he does. All of his being is involved in all of his work. And as we look at his omnipresence this morning, the fact that he inhabits all time and space, we can draw confidence in the promise we find in Hebrews 13:6. It says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He won't. He's always there. His eye is on the sparrow, we heard this morning. If his eye is on the sparrow that flies or the sparrow that falls, we know he's watching over us. So So this morning I want to start by looking at some scripture passages that show God's presence. And I'm not expecting you to turn to those because there's about 10 of them this morning, but I've got them printed out here, so I'm going to read them for you. So just listen as I read these verses. First of all, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Genesis 4:16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Exodus 33:14-15, talking to Moses, he says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses says, he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses said, "If you're not going, God, I don't want to go." Leviticus 22:3, "Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord God, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord." 1 Chronicles 16:33, "Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth." Psalm 9:3, "When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence." Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17:2, "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal." Psalm 31:20, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." David says in Psalm 51:11, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Psalm 68:8, "The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel." Psalm 97:5, "The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." Psalm 100, verse 2, "The serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." Jonah 1:10, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." 2 Thessalonians 1:9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?" And Jude 1:24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." There are a lot more. You do a search on the word presence, God's presence, we could be here the rest of the day reading those verses and looking at those verses. But there's a lot of them in Psalms. And when we think of the Psalms and how the authors of the Psalms took great comfort in their relationship with God, what was one aspect of that relationship that stood out to them? The presence of God. That God was with them. The presence of the Lord was dear to them, and that whatever trial they faced, whatever enemy confronted them, whatever blessings they received, the Lord was always with them. And that was illustrated a lot in the Psalms. The second thing I want to look at this morning, we've seen the scriptures that talk about the presence of God, and there's a lot of them. But the next thing I want to look at is the comfort of divine presence. To those who will obey God's word and follow God's will, the presence of the Lord is a great comfort to us. First of all, we see the comfort in the pilgrimage of life. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, we're going to read verses 10 through 15. Genesis 28:10 says, "Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. See, there was a promise given to Jacob here. When he was fleeing from his brother Esau, he was going to his uncle Laban's home in Paddan Aram. But God assures Jacob of his presence with him, and he says, Jacob, I'm going to be with you until I fulfilled that promise. Now, has God fulfilled his promise completely to Jacob and Jacob's descendants? No, there's still promises to be fulfilled. God is still with them. He's still going to fulfill his promises. We see that here in that passage, that God is with Jacob and with his descendants. Exodus chapter 3, turn with me to there. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. God has just told Moses that he was going to send him down to Egypt. Exodus 3:10 says, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth a people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. He says, Moses, I'm going to send you, but Moses, I'm going with you. And God promised Moses that he would be with him. Exodus chapter 29, verse 45. God has just given instructions about the tabernacle here, and he's gone through and told Moses how he wanted it to be built. He's followed that through. And in verse 45, he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And when God instructed Moses in that, the purpose of the tabernacle was to provide a visible reminder of the presence of God. And when Solomon built the temple, later on in Israel's history, we see that it was to provide a place for God to dwell among his people. So what do we have now as a reminder of the presence of God with us through life's journeys? 1 Corinthians 6, let me just read that for you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. And so now, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts, those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. And it's a reminder to us to live a life that glorifies Him. The second thing we see in the comfort of the divine presence is that He gives rest. Turn with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15. We read these verses a minute ago, but I want to see them again. He's talking to Moses here. Exodus 33:14, he says, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And so God is telling Moses, I'm going to lead you into this land. I'm going to give you this land. I'm preparing the way before you. Moses says, God, if your presence is not with us, I don't want to go. And so he gave that promise to Moses. He's going to give them rest in the land. But they had to go. They had to follow God. And so when God is with us, he's providing all that we need through this pilgrimage of life. It brings a sense of rest. When I knew that my dad was there, and my dad was going to take care of me. And we'd go somewhere, and I knew my dad would take care of me, and my dad would provide for me, and my dad would watch over me. I wasn't shaking. What's going to happen? No, my dad was there. My dad was a big man, and I knew my dad would take care of me. And it gives you a sense of rest and trust, knowing you can rest in that. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He meets our needs. He gives us, he's going to give us rest. And knowing he's there to help us, helps us to trust. To help us to trust in him is a form of rest. Resting in his care, in his protection, his provision, his knowledge of my needs. And so in our comfort, we find he gives rest. But then we find in comfort, we find he gives courage in battles. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. Let me read that for you. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. It says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When God brought Israel out into the land of Canaan, he didn't leave them at the border and say, okay, there he is, see ya. No, he went in with them. He went in to fight with them, to be on their side. He was right there alongside. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a comfort that was to Joshua. God says, Joshua, I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you too. I'm right there with you, Joshua. Nobody's going to be able to stand before you. I'm right there with you. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, he tells Gideon, when Gideon's saying, how am I going to defeat this army of this huge army with 300 men? He tells Gideon, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon could have gone into that battle by himself and defeated that army. How? Because the Lord was with him. Isaiah 41:10. Actually, let's back up in just a minute here. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. This is another neat illustration of how God gives courage in battle. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. And the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. Behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So we see that the king of Israel had sent this large army to this city where Elisha and his servant were, because he was going to take them. Well, the servant comes out and he sees this huge army from Israel surrounding the city. But look at verse 16. Elisha answered, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a comfort in the battle. When that young man saw those, he's like, okay, it's good enough for me. I see the host of heaven out surrounding this other army. It's like, we can rest in that. We can take courage in that. God is with us. But he also, in his comfort, he also gives comfort in trials. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Have any of us gone through trials this last week? Mm-hmm. You know what? God was with you through every one of them. What a comfort that is. Are we going to go through trials this next week? Yep. I was talking to somebody this morning about my surgery. And I had a pre-op physical this last week with a doctor here in town, my regular doctor, and he says, hey, you look like you're nervous. I said, I'm not worried about it. Lord's going to take care of it. Whatever happens, he's got it in control. No, I still think through the whole thing, sure. I'm not worried about it. But what happens is what the Lord wants to happen. Okay? We have comfort in trials. Matthew chapter 8. verses 23 to 26. Matthew 8:23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, the disciples were in the midst of a huge trial. They didn't know how they were going to deal with it. They thought they were lost. Their lives were lost. And the answer to their problems was to sleep in the bottom of the boat. How was he able to sleep? Because he had confidence in the presence of his heavenly Father. He knew his Father knew exactly where they were. And yes, Jesus is God. He did what he needed to do there to calm the storm. But I believe he could rest as a picture of the fact that he had confidence in the presence of his own Father. And he wanted to show that to the disciples. So what makes it possible to deal with serious illness, to deal with the death of a loved one, the loss of something or someone very special to us, to deal with financial loss or a dramatic change of circumstances? What is it that allows us to deal with that? It's the fact that God is present with us. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly where we're at. And he's with us. Romans chapter 8. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 8. Verses 35 to 39. If you ever are worried or ever fret about things that are going on in your own life, trials you're going through, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35, and read that. It says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us from the love of God, from him being with us at all times? Nothing. I think Paul covered it pretty well there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, from God being with us. But there's also another side to the presence of God, and that is the terror of the divine presence. We've all been there. We've done something wrong. We know we're going to be found out. We're going to have to face the consequences of our choices. We're terrified by the thought and have a guilt that remains with us until it's confessed and dealt with. But just as the presence of God is a comfort to those who obey God's word and follow his will, so those who rebel against God and live in sin shudder to realize that God sees them and God knows where they're at. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, we read that a minute ago. Adam and Eve said, and it says in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. How futile was that? God knew where they were. Were they really hiding from God? No, they were just ashamed for what they had done. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Was he going to go from the presence of the Lord? No. He wasn't leaving the presence of the Lord. God knew exactly where he was. God was right there all along. When some other verses, Job chapter 34, verse 22. I have that one written down here too. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I remember when my kids go through their schooling as they were younger, my wife would go through and teach them the ABCs with scripture verses. And this was one of them. I don't remember what letter of the alphabet it was. She probably does. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And again, Jonah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, he said unto them, Jonah's talking to the sailors here. He says, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And it's like, Jonah, why are you trying to do that? And that he wasn't able to flee. He couldn't leave God's presence. God knew where he was. When Christ cast the demons out of people in the Gospels, what was the terror? What brought terror to the demon-possessed, or to those demonic forces? What brought terror to them? The presence of God. When Christ came into their midst, they're like, whoa! And Christ cast them out of these people. They were terrified at his presence. And there will come a day when every one of us will stand before God. Unbelievers will be sentenced to eternal punishment in the lake of fire, while believers will be judged for the works that we have done for Christ. And everyone here this morning will have one of two responses when we stand before God. They'll be in terror as they stand before a holy God at the great white throne, or they'll be comforted by the presence of their God and Savior. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you have everything to fear. As you go through this life, you have no indwelling Holy Spirit. You have no peace. You have no joy. You have no victory over sin. You have no relationship with God. And if you don't make the choice to receive God's gift of salvation before it's too late, you'll suffer eternal torment in the lake of fire. And the worst part of that torment is not the fire and the pain. The worst part of that torment is you'll be separated from God forever. You'll be no longer in his presence. I plead with you this morning, if you have not done that, please trust Christ as your Savior today, and I'd be glad to talk to you about that. It's not just that you can have a home in heaven, it means that you have God's abiding presence with you now. God's presence with you at all times. You have that indwelling Holy Spirit is with you to help you and guide you and teach you. Back to Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? What's the answer? Nowhere. There's nowhere we can go where we can flee his spirit. There's nowhere we can go where we can be away from his presence. And commentary says it, Barnes says it this way, from his face, that is where he will not be and will not see me. I cannot find a place or a spot in the universe where there is not a God and the same God. Fearful thought to those that hate him, that much as they may wish or desire it, they can never find a place where there is not a holy God. Comforting to those that love him, they will never be where they may not find a God, their God. That nowhere, at home or abroad, on land or on the ocean, on earth or above the stars, it will ever reach a world where they will not be in the presence of that God, that gracious Father, who can defend, comfort, guide, and sustain them. So I ask you this morning, are you taking comfort in the presence of God? Or you have terror at the presence of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are with us at all times. And we have that promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, we thank you for all these promises that we can claim. You're with us in trials. You're with us in difficulty. You're with us in battles. Father, we thank you for what you give to us and how you take care of us. Father, if there's someone here this morning that is fearing you because of your presence, and they know that you see them, you know where they're at, and Father, one day we'll stand before you. Father, there's someone here that has not trusted you as their Savior. I pray that they would do that this morning. I pray that they would not leave here until their heart is at peace with you. I pray that you would encourage each one of our hearts with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.